I love chatting with any other Jonathan I can. I don't rarely get to do so. Jonathan Merrill, how are you doing here this evening?
I'm good, John. Jonathan, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I go by John, and there's a bunch of other Johns at the station here, J-O-H-N. I'm thinking about switching and just going back to Jonathan, because it certainly is a great name, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been Jonathan. My parents they don't like when people call me John. So I always say, well, why'd you name me Jonathan? But, yeah, usually Jonathan, but I get John plenty
as
well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever. It's a great name. We'll take it. Jonathan Merrill, you do a lot of great things with family law. We're here to talk a little bit about divorce today. And I guess my first question out of the bat is, for the last year, we've been just hearing how backed up things are in the court system. There's been a lot of adjustments over the past 2 years, right? Especially in family law. Are things back to, I don't want to say normal in person, but is there such a backlog now or no?
Well, it's kind of the new normal now. I mean, obviously, there's still a lot of court closure. Most people are not going back to court for their cases, very limited circumstances. But when COVID hit and courts closed, it was kind of mayhem, and no one really knew what was going on, whether, you know, there was going to be Zoom or when there was Zoom. How did you get onto the court appearance? When is the court appearance? You know, they've really ironed it out over the past 2 years, obviously, because that's really all there has been is Zoom. Some of the collar counties like Will County, DuPage, they've opened up a little more. But for the most part, Cook County and the Daly Centers, really for the most part, all Zoom. So they've had to adapt. Lawyers have had to adapt. And like I said, the new normal is just, you know, getting into court in front of your computer.
So if someone wants to, if they maybe want to go forward and they've already kind of made the decision to do divorce, or if there's a post-decree thing or anything along the lines of family law, is there any excuse to wait, or can people at least kind of start that process? There should be no fear of, oh, this is never going to happen, it's going to take forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not completely smooth, but for the most part, cases are starting to move again. So I would say there's no reason to really delay doing something that you want to do or need to do, because the court system's just functioning, through Zoom now. That's, like I said, that's how things go now. And the court system, the clerk's office, lawyers, judges, they've all adapted. So, you know, it's crazy. It's been 2 years now. So we've had 2 years of this new system already. So it's moving pretty smooth.
That's great. I'm glad it is moving smooth. I mean, if there's one thing we need to keep up with it, it's the court system, and no matter what kind of law we're talking about. So, you know, there's been so many rumors. You know, we heard at the start of the pandemic, kind of even jokingly at first, right, that first couple of weeks, this is going to lead to so many divorces because everyone has to stay at home. It's so stressful. Well, when a couple of weeks dragged on to a couple of months and now years, I feel like that has really kind of sunk in as reality. It's really upended a lot of family situations that maybe weren't so great to begin with. So was the hype of, this is really going to lead to an explosion in divorces, has that come true, a little bump? What have you seen?
I mean, yes, it's definitely increased the rate of divorce. I mean, especially at the outset in that first 6 months to a year, with everyone kind of living in the pressure cooker of everyone under the same roof, no one's really doing anything outside their home. You see an uptick in, obviously, turmoil within inside the home, unfortunately, like domestic violence incidents increased as well. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely caused a bump in the divorce rate. I think things have kind of leveled out a little now because, again, I keep saying the same term. It's like this new normal where people are working from home. But for the most part, we had that bump at the beginning, and I think it's gotten a little more back to normal now over the past 6 months to a year, but definitely still busy because, you know, it's not just the divorce rate that bumps, but it's all the people who were already divorced or, you know, they were impacted by changes in people's employment or, like I said, domestic violence, you know, differing views on e-learning and vaccination. So there's just all these issues that never existed before, really, which were brought to the forefront once COVID came.
We're getting a lot of great text message questions. You can keep them coming in, 312-981-7200. And you just kind of touched on one from the 708. How has COVID affected the parenting issues in terms of people's beliefs about mask wearing, going to school, not going to school, traveling? I mean, that just puts an added stress, especially if two parents don't see eye to eye on that thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, these issues are coming up, you know, especially with, you know, vaccines and boosters and e-learning, mask wearing, you know, the Omicron. I mean, you know, it's one thing after another, obviously, with the pandemic. And then, you know, you get parents who are divorced or getting divorced and have differing views on, you know, getting the kids to school. What should they be doing? Should they be doing certain activities or should they stop doing activities? You know, should they wear a mask, go to school, all the things you kind of touched on. These are all coming to the forefront. And if people can't resolve them on their own or through mediation, they're going to wind up in front of a judge. And, you know, judges don't want to make these kind of judgment calls. They're not there to parent these children, but, you know, they're getting these issues put in front of them all the time now.
Yeah, Jonathan, I never thought about that. And if you don't want to answer this question specifically, that's fine, because I know probably each case is different. But, yeah, what if a split parents, the dad wants the kid not, vaccinated, the mom doesn't? How does that get decided? Could that eventually end up in front of a judge? I can't imagine a judge making that decision.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, if as a last resort, you know, the issue could come before a judge, and judges are put in, you know, the uncomfortable position because obviously, you know, there's so much political, you know, nonsense behind all the vaccines and not vaccinated, vaccinated. So, yeah, judges are, you know, they're very reluctant, obviously, to have to make these calls. And, you know, you get, obviously, if you go to any sort of like contested hearing, could get to the, you know, craziness of bringing in a doctor to testify. But obviously, you know, the issue of should a kid get vaccinated or not, we know how divided the country is about that. And, you know, judges certainly don't want to be put in a spot where they have to make that call. But unfortunately, it's happening.
Yeah, parents, don't let a judge make that call. Come to an agreement between the two of you somehow, some way. I think that's best for everybody.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's the right
figure
answer.
Figure it out. You mentioned employment. We only got about a minute before the news, but just you could at least start this answer. 630 wanted to know, I lost my job. You know, making payments has been real difficult. Can that person get some help with that to say, hey, look, my situation has changed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the issues of support, whether it be spousal support, child support, any issues related to support, they're always modifiable. If there's a change in circumstances, you know, whether it's losing your job, a reduction in your income, or on the other side, an increase in someone's income, you know, either parent may, you know, petition the court for a modification of support.
It's important stuff. I mean, obviously, we want everyone up on their payments and to pay what they need to pay and, you know, the people that are owed get paid. But obviously, things change along the lines. Tell you what, Jonathan, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to take a break for the news and continue our conversation after that. If you're heading into the Hawks game right now or leaving your car, MerrillFamilyLaw.com, M-E-R-E-L, FamilyLaw.com. And Jonathan, the number I have here, 312-487-2795. That's where people can call for a consultation, right?
Yes, there's actually an easier domain to use is ChicagoDivorce.com.
Even easier.
You know, Merrill Family Law. But ChicagoDivorce.com, and that'll get you to my website.
I'm sure that's in my notes somewhere, and I looked right over that. ChicagoDivorce.com. Come on, John Hanson. More with Jonathan Merrill after this. Time for the news on WGN. So that's in the next hour. But we're talking with Jonathan Merrill now about all things divorce. You go to ChicagoDivorce.com, and you're right, Jonathan, that led right to your page. Very seamlessly, the law offices of Jonathan Merrill. Thanks for that's a real easy domain name for people to get.
It is an easy one. Much easier than spelling my name and remembering that.
Well, right, exactly. Now, is it two R's, two L's for the record?
Right.
It is one of each. We're talking about, you know, divorces and people having, you know, maybe been thinking about it for a while. Maybe the pandemic has heightened a lot of those things. What's your advice for someone who is considering a divorce at this time? Like, when is the time to talk to a lawyer? Is it after you've made your decision or is it when you've, you know, started going down that road emotionally?
Well, I think it's different for everyone. I think everyone gets to a point when their marriage isn't, you know, going great where they realize it's at the point and, you know, whether they have children or not, they just are at the point where they think it's time to talk to a lawyer. Usually, by the time someone's talking to me, things aren't great in the marriage and, you know, whether it's the divorce is really imminent or, you know, they believe it's coming sooner than later, you know, people are contacting me just to understand, you know, their rights and responsibilities when it comes to children, custody, support, the division of assets. So, I mean, it can never hurt to contact a lawyer just to kind of, you know, even if it's having a 10, 15 minute initial phone call to get information and just knowledge that most people don't have going into the process. So it can't hurt to ever call a lawyer and find out, you know, what's going on.
But if someone's expecting to call to get a counseling session or to get pushed over the ledge, like, that's not your role, right? Like, that puts you in a real weird position.
Yeah, I mean, divorce lawyers definitely wear, you know, the lawyer hat, and we also wear the therapist hat.
Yeah.
So that comes with the territory. I mean, we're obviously, you know, taking clients through a very difficult process, which is obviously emotional, and, you know, we're there obviously to guide them through the legal process, but also be there for them, you know, emotionally, because it's not an easy thing to go through.
Is that why you do it? Not because it's, yeah, obviously it's a very difficult thing, but at the end of the day, what you've done is you've navigated and helped someone get through what could be a very difficult thing and see them on to a start of a brand new chapter of their life. Is that one of the reasons why you do what you do?
I mean, that's definitely a fulfilling part of it. You know, people think divorce and they think, you know, it's this horrible thing. And obviously, you know, it's not an easy thing to go through and can be very difficult. But what people lose sight of is the fact that, you know, this is the beginning of the next stage of someone's life. And it's obviously, you know, moving on to a new period for people who have, you know, been trapped in a relationship that, you know, wasn't making them happy, or, you know, even an abusive relationship. This really kind of, you know, gives them a sense of freedom and a weight off their shoulders once they get through the process. But obviously not an easy thing to go through, but many people think it's very rewarding once it's over.
So I have like anecdotal evidence of this. So please correct me if my anecdotes are way off, which wouldn't be the first time. So obviously the stigma of divorce has come a long way since the last century, like 100 years ago, right, where it was almost unheard of. And of course, now it's a lot different. And in fact, it's a much more, I don't want to say open conversation between people, and this isn't across the board. So correct me if I'm wrong, but even, are things at least getting a little bit more, people are a little more clear-headed about the process going into it, because there isn't the stigma of, oh, I shouldn't do it. And maybe there's a little bit more amicable divorces now than you used to see 10, 15, 20 years ago, or am I crazy?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely, you know, people, there's definitely been a shift lately to try to avoid litigation.
Right.
And, you know, seeking alternate dispute resolution through mediation or a process called collaborative divorce, and really just trying to resolve things without, you know, the courtroom setting and putting the decision in the hands of a judge. People are trying to shift away from that, but, you know, you still have your high intensity, high conflict, you know, World War III kind of divorce cases that exist. And, you know, there's a million reasons why those
right.
happen. It could be the people, the issues, even the lawyers, you know, out there that are kind of forcing litigation, which is certainly not how I practice, but
well,
there are those out there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because litigation obviously is a lot more involved, and that would get you more involved. But if someone comes to you and says, I want to do mediation, you can still be there for them and help them through that process, because that's what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. And as, you know, as there is this trend shifting toward, you know, favoring mediation and resolving things out of court, there's also been a trend to what's called attorney-assisted mediation. So you're going through the mediation process with a neutral, but you're also, you know, each party is going to have an attorney going through it with them, advising them along the way.
Yeah, and that certainly helps out. I mean, like, this isn't something that you don't want to be bringing a piece of paper together and you just iron out, you know, the differences between two people. I mean, no one ever wants to hear the sentence, get the lawyers involved. But, like, certainly they can, like, you guys can make things easier, right? You can just see the blind spots. Because I think a lot of people go into the thing that they know exactly what they want and, oh, my spouse wants this. We're going to be just fine. But there's a lot of things that people don't think about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not all lawyers are bad. I know that's what many people think. But there are actually lawyers out there.
Not on this show, Jonathan. Everyone,
okay, good.
We love our lawyers, okay?
Okay, good, good. But yeah, lawyers are there, obviously, to educate people as they're going through the process, to give them what their options are, to explain, you know, if you take this path, this is what you can expect. If you could take that path, this is what to expect. And then to also juxtapose what's going on in mediation and the outcome versus what, you know, a court's likely to do in the event you litigate. So, you know, lawyers are always explaining to clients what their options are, weighing the pros and cons of each decision, and, you know, giving them insight that they wouldn't ordinarily have if they were navigating this by themselves.
Chatting with Jonathan Merrill, and we're talking, by the way, ChicagoDivorce.com is where you go for the website for more information. Jonathan, besides talking to you, what do you recommend people do before they talk to you? Not only make decisions, but like, order immediately afterwards. Is there some paperwork people should start to be getting in order? Should someone know exactly where their money is in their situation, what the joint checking account passwords are? Like, are there things that people should do to arm themselves to make sure that they are going to be A-OK financially as they even begin the divorce proceedings?
Yeah, I mean, these are obviously questions that people ask me once we talk. And, you know, what should I be doing? What should I be thinking about? But obviously the answers are, you know, getting a grasp on your finances, understanding, you know, what the people have, you know, perhaps inventorying finances. And, you know, this is a more difficult task for, you know, perhaps the spouse that isn't, you know, controlling all the money or necessarily privy to the daily, you know, finances of the couple. But it's always important to get a grasp on finances. Other than that, you know, the lawyers are there to kind of steer the clients as to what to do. And the process itself obviously involves the exchange of financial information and discussion about, you know, any documentation that might be needed throughout the case.
I know this will be a specific case-by-case basis, but I don't know if you can give us a broad range. 618 wants to know, how long, if I start a divorce proceeding now, is it going to take till we're all done? I mean, I guess ballpark it just, I mean, let's say it's a pretty open and shut case. There's not too many dramas about it. How long does that typically take?
Yeah, I mean, it's a question that every single person asks when they come in to see me, and it's really a question that I answer without a specific answer.
Okay.
It's really hard to say. I mean, you could have divorces that take 2 months. You could have divorces that take 3.5 years or more.
Okay.
So it's such a huge spectrum. But, you know, the average divorce, if there's not too many complications and not too much of a contested issue, you're probably looking around 6 months to a year at the most, I would say. Somewhere in that 6 to 9 months is for like a very somewhat smooth divorce. And obviously there are extremes that, you know, both sides of the spectrum. If things get done quickly, and obviously if cases drag on with high conflict, they can go on for a really long time.
312 wants to know, each of us we're going through a divorce. Each of us own businesses. Valuations are all over the place right now. Even things like that, right? Like the assets you have in your business with the changing climate with COVID-19, that really throws a wrench in things too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever you have, you know, cases where a party or both parties own a business and you have to get a valuation of the business, oftentimes, you know, one spouse will get their own evaluation, the other will get the other, and there's usually a huge delta between what the values are. So those cases are more difficult to settle and often take a lot longer than your, you know, average divorce, because the asset, the business, and the value thereof is often, you know, the most valuable asset in the estate. So, you know, finding and determining a value can obviously often take, you know, the court weighing in as to what the value is.
I imagine your law offices have handled stuff like that, though. You're okay. You got it.
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time.
All right. Merrill Family Law is... No, I was about to give the wrong website again, Jonathan. Well, you can go to MerrillFamilyLaw.com. It'll work.
Yeah, that works, too. You'll get to the same place.
I'm just giving everyone everything. I want people to have as many tools in their toolbox to reach you as they can, Jonathan.
Chicago, I appreciate it.
ChicagoDivorce.com. Is there a phone number you got? Is that 312-487-2795 a good place for people to go or no?
Yeah, that works. And we also...
Great.
312-408-7000 is another.
Oh,
so either one. ChicagoDivorce.com is the easiest to remember.
Google it, people. That's what I tell people nowadays. Come on, you know what to do.
Right.
Jonathan Merrill, I really enjoy this conversation. I'm looking forward to another one because we've got a lot of questions. I think people... And they love texting in divorce questions. This happens every time we have a divorce lawyer on. I think people are afraid to call in, which totally makes sense, right? You want to keep your cards close to the vest. So I like that. Text your questions in. And Jonathan, next time you come on, we'll get some more on for you, okay?
Great. Thank you, John.
ChicagoDivorce.com. Jonathan Merrill, take care.
Take care. You too.
All right. He's a good thought leader on this sort of subject, someone who knows the ins and outs of that. We'll get to more of that a little bit later on, maybe another episode coming up. Hope to have Jonathan back. All right.